We're grateful for your presence this morning. I'd like to address your attention to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40, where Jesus said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." There's a lot of receiving going on there, isn't there? We're going to notice this verse in its context here in just a few moments, but Jesus is sending the apostles out with a message we call the limited commission, and he is telling them that not everyone's going to receive what he is going to teach, and therefore they're not going to be receiving them. But those who will receive you, you need to realize that they're receiving me. You know, teachers of truth take their message personally. And I think you see that here in this statement to Jesus. Jesus realizes that the apostles were going out to teach a message. And yet, he's not talking just about the message that's preached. He's talking about also about the messenger. See, the messenger first submits themselves to the message and the author of the message. And so when the message isn't received, then it's like, well, okay, then you're not receiving me. You're not receiving what I stand for. And Jesus knew that the apostles were going to go through that because Jesus was going through that. This is a very interesting verse, but I want to discuss this morning, how does one receive Christ? You know, we talk about believing in Jesus and trusting Jesus, and yet this is a very personal kind of word, isn't it? To receive Christ. You know, you can believe someone, acknowledge someone, but to actually receive someone, what does that mean? What does it mean to receive Christ, to receive God? He who receives me receives him who sent me. Many times you'll hear people talking about, they just want to have a personal relationship with God. Well, God wants to have a personal relationship with us. And we need to realize that that relationship is based upon receiving the message of God. And when we receive that message, we receive God. There's a lot involved in this. But Jesus sent the apostles to preach, we see in verse 10. And those who received the message preached received Christ. It's the bottom line of what we're seeing there in verse 40. Well, let's look at the text. As we drop back to verse 16, he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now, I don't know if you could pick a more defenseless, domesticated animal and a more vicious predator to make a comparison. "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." I mean, wolves, a pack of wolves can bring down a full-grown bull elk. They are vicious. When we go forth with the message of Christ, we need to realize that not everybody's going to receive the message, and some people are going to hate it, and some people are going to want to destroy us. "Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, you might say, well, I don't like snakes. That's okay. But you need to just realize a little bit about it. I think people in the first century were a little bit closer to nature than we are, because they lived in it all the time. They didn't have heating and air conditioning and electricity and lights and all of those things. I mean, they were around nature all the time. Snakes, you know, they have to survive, and they go about doing what they need to do. But what's their survival tactic? Basically, they hide. They run and hide. They don't go looking for trouble. They try to stay out of trouble. Usually when they get into trouble, a snake usually loses. Did you know that? With things in the nature world and so forth. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Doves don't go around looking to hurt people. Kind of like sheep, you know. In the wild community, doves and rabbits, I don't know if you could think of anything that were more placid than doves and rabbits. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils to scourge you in the synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how you will speak or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher, and a servant to be like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those who are of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. So here's a very interesting message to the apostles. I'm sending you out with a message to preach and to teach, but people are going to hate you. People are going to want to destroy you. People who believe this message are going to be hated by their own family members and even be put to death because they have received the message that you are teaching. Things I'm telling you now in secret, you are to proclaim openly, and yet this is the kind of response that you're going to receive. Now notice with me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Men try to save themselves. They think they know what's best for themselves. They think they know how to worship God. They think they know how to be saved. They think they know a lot of things. And here it was foretold, you haven't seen it and you haven't heard it. God has prepared these things and God reveals these things. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, this is the message that Jesus is sending the apostles out with in the limited commission, in the great commission. This is the message that Paul is talking about here to the Corinthians, as there were false teachers among the church at Corinth, and people were beginning to listen and believe the false teachers. Paul is reaffirming the message that he had preached and they had received, that it was from God and not from men. So the message that the apostles are going out with here in Matthew chapter 10 is from God and not from men. It's not about the men. If you're a teacher in the classrooms back there or the classrooms up here, or if you present a lesson here or wherever, it's not about the teacher. It's about the message. That's what is to be emphasized in all things. Jesus went on to explain to them, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Again, it comes back, fear God and keep his commandments. This is a difficult mission I'm sending you on, he's saying, but you be true to the mission. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will or your Father's knowledge? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Is Jesus saying that that's the reason he came to set us against one another? No, that's not the reason. He came to seek and save the lost. But the lost are saved by the message that is taught. And some people are going to receive it, and some people aren't. And so those who receive it are certainly going to be blessed. But what about those who don't? Well, not only are they going to miss the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, but they're also going to hate those who hold to and who receive Christ Jesus. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." So to receive Christ, we need to realize it means letting go of some things. Letting go of friends, letting go of family members, letting go of ourself, so that we might receive the message and receive Christ. So one receives Christ by receiving the doctrine of Christ as taught by the apostles. If they change the message that Jesus sent them to preach, then we couldn't receive Christ. We're familiar with the passage in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is breathed of God. It originates with God. It's given to us by God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for showing us where we're wrong, for correction, for telling us how to correct the mistakes that we have made, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. If you want to be righteous and I want to be righteous, where do we need to turn to? Each other? Ourselves? No, we need to turn to the Scriptures. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. He's left nothing out. He's revealed all to us so that we might receive Him. We receive Christ by losing our own life for Christ's sake. That was what we noticed in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39. Notice again, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I cannot receive Christ unless I make room for him by removing myself. Not my will, but his will be done. Putting aside the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Putting aside calling attention to myself so that I might call attention to him, that his light might live in me. To receive Christ, I have to make room for him. And that means to empty myself completely of myself. To completely receive him. I want to back up there just for a second. I have mentioned here on the chart, Romans chapter 6 is really all about that. Do you not know that you who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You were baptized to put your sin and your love of sinning to death. We're not just talking about just not practicing sin, but stop loving sin. Stop being tempted by sin. That's what the sixth chapter of Romans is about. You're dead to sin, and you're alive to righteousness. You decided to receive Christ. So be dead to yourself, be dead to sin, and to receive Christ completely. To receive Christ is also to receive the Father. As we noted in verse 40 here, he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. Are they really receiving the apostles? Is that what he's talking about? No, they're receiving the message that the apostles are sent with. And where did that message originate from? Well, it originated with Jesus. Jesus is the one who told them to do it and authorized it to do it. But Jesus is saying here, that message came from my Father. And so if they've received you, they've received me. And if they've received me, they've received the Father. In John 14 and verses 23 through 24, we often notice this passage, but it says it very plainly here. We might say mysteriously, but plainly. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when we believe this word, we trust it and we obey it, you need to realize that something very personal is going on in your life. You're not just receiving words. You're not just receiving a teaching or a doctrine. You're not just receiving a reproof or correction. You're not just receiving instruction in righteousness. You are receiving the author of this message. You are validating that you believe in Almighty God. And you are making Him the King of your life. That you no longer are living for yourself. As He died so that you might live, so you put to death your sin and yourself so that He might live in you and you might live for Him. That's what it means to receive Christ. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6, by this we know that we know Him, not feel Him. This is how we think we know Him. This is how we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. What does it mean to receive Christ? It means to receive the love of Christ. It means to receive His word and keep His commandments and let that love be perfected. We reciprocate His love. How do we love Jesus? If you love me, keep my commandments. By this we know that we are in Him when we love Him and keep His commandments. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as he walked. That's what it means to receive Jesus. It means to live just as he lived. It means that as he lived to glorify his heavenly Father, so you live to glorify your heavenly Father. It means that as he lived to keep himself pure, to honor and glorify his Father, it means that you purify yourself and are pure just as he is pure, to glorify him. It means that as he kept himself holy, you keep yourself holy, to honor and to glorify him. Are you doing that? Have you received Christ? You believe on him. Will you trust him? Will you obey him? Will you come to him? Will you receive him? Empty yourself of yourself. Say goodbye to your sin and to your desire to sin. And invite Jesus to live in your life. To live for him from this day forward. If you love him and you want to turn to him, confess him. And obey him, be baptized, have your sins washed away, rise to walk with him in newness of life. And if you're here as a child of God, and for some reason you've let down that standard of purity and holiness and righteousness that you see in Christ, won't you receive him again? Won't you live for him? You're subject to the invitation this morning. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.